Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew podcast, and you're here with Reginald Desjardins and Mr. Mike Marinoff.
Mr. What Michael episode? Marinoff.
What episode is it? 45?
45.
There you go. Episode 45.
Good old 45 in the ding dong.
45 in the ding dong. Yes.
45 in the ding dong.
How could I forget that expression?
I don't know my level.
45 in the ding dong.
All right, there
That's
we go.
That's going to be the first t-shirt we print.
I don't know. You don't know if it's better because you're not the one listening to this to monitors. So I don't even know why I'm asking you that. What do you think, listeners? You can't give me active feedback. So if this is sounding really bad, that by the time it happens, it won't matter and it'll sound bad anyway. Whatever. I'm so tired.
Whatever. You're tired?
I'm so tired.
Why are you tired?
I had to wake up super early today, and I didn't go to bed too early last night, and I had to wake up early. I had to wake up at 7:30 for I had to go to my survivorship clinic. It's called the Life Clinic at the Children's Hospital LA. And
survivorship.
Yeah, so it's like you're not dead from cancer. Where do you go now? Hey, don't eat this. Eat this. Exercise. Do these things. So it treats you as like a surviving patient as opposed to someone that is in treatment, which is all the rage nowadays. All the rage.
Treats you like a survivor.
Yeah.
This is what you miss while you were in chemo. All these TV shows are pretty good. Check it out.
You could watch TV when you're on chemo, though. So.
Oh, okay.
So that's a lie. It's lies what you're saying. Your suggestion is farce. It is hyperbole. It is hyperbolic, and I don't appreciate it, Reginald.
I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, chemo people can watch TV. That's actually what they do most of the time with their lives. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well. Sorry that you had to, like, you know, wake up early. And learn how to survive better.
Small price to pay. and they're
that's the smallest price to pay.
They're switching me for the next because I only have to go once a year now, which is great. Because you know I used to go once every 2 months, and then before that once every month, and then twice a month. And it's like, wow, my life isn't so hospital heavy now. Like I can kind of just move on and just not really think about the hospital too much, which is pretty fucking cool. You know,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I am also tired, but for a very different reason. I had to wake up early for class. Class starts at 8 for me, but then I said, you know what? I'm not going into math class. I'm just gonna go straight to marketing.
What a rebel!
So I slept in. That's right.
I don't mesh well with anything that starts at 8 o'clock. So. And I should have beat the traffic, but I went to the office to their clinic late. And they took me, but it was like in Miami, everything runs on Miami time, even the fucking oncologist. So like, you just come on whatever, you know, and like they try to impose a stricter guidelines, but it's really hard because everyone in Miami is on Miami time.
Even the oncologist.
It's not the oncologist, it's the patients. So like you kind of got to. You kind of got to accommodate them. It's like why shows start late here because like maybe the comedians will show up on time, but that does not mean that that the audience will be there on time. So you got to keep pushing it back. I remember we used to, at the Vagabond, we used to open up the back patio depending on how many people were there. And sometimes we just wait till 1 a.m. and that wasn't even late. It was just like, yeah, well, there's not enough people here. So we're not going to open it up. This is 1 a.m. and then once it's 2, it's like, all right, let's do that. It feels weird to like make my life is going to revolve around cancer so much less now, which is like, it's funny because it's in some ways it's easier having cancer than not having cancer because like there's so many variables and shit in real life. Whereas with cancer, it's like, just do this. Go to this appointment.
It was,
don't
it,
die.
Everything was already structured.
Yeah,
it was
so
like,
structured.
You just have, this is your only responsibility. Just live, do these things.
Yeah.
And your cancer had a high survivability rate, right?
Like yes, you could, it did.
So there, like, I don't want to say, but you had that little bit working for you as well, you know?
Of
like,
course, yeah.
Like it's still
it,
cancer,
yeah, it helps
but
when
it's
you're
like
not
going
to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's not like, well, we don't know. We don't know if you're going to make it or not.
Yeah, but if they just told, just go to these appointments and eat this good food and you'll be all right. You'll more than likely be all right.
Yeah, that's a good reassurance to have. I don't know what it's like to have cancer and you're going to die from it. I don't know what that's like, but I know some people that died and they had pretty good outlooks, you know? They had better outlooks on the prospect of death than some people had on the prospect of having to, you know, go to jury duty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
but it's funny how that perspective goes away though. Like that my perspective was a lot more rosy when I was in chemotherapy than it is now.
Really?
Yeah. Cause like, you know, everything, like it's a daily thing. Everything's so fresh in your memory that everything in your life is just compared to that. And it's like, who fucking cares? You know? And then it's like, and then like you lose perspective on it. And then it softens it a little bit. And then you're like, you're back to getting pissed off at shit you shouldn't be pissed off about because it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
I find that those moments where, like, you finally do appreciate, like, life and, like, everything that you've been given and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, people had those moments, but then those moments quickly go away.
Yeah.
Just because, like, maybe it's just human nature. Maybe it's where we live in or how we're raised or, like, how we're socialized and all that stuff.
But, I think
like,
it's human nature.
Does human nature to just like abandon, like, you know, those epiphany moments, the ones where you're like, oh my gosh, there's a much bigger world out there and I should respect other human beings. Ah, this guy cut me off in traffic, you know?
Fuck him.
Yeah. You know, like you'll have moments where you really love your parents and then you just go back to your old, you know, your old ways where it's like, here's my laundry, mom.
Yeah.
But, you know, you always do love your parents, but you're never in that real moment of love where it's like, you know, it's Christmas and, you know, you push your mom from a moving car. And then you're like, mom, I really love you. That's why I pushed you from that moving car. And then she's like, I love you too, son. And then you know what? They gave you a sweater instead of an Xbox One. And you're like, you know what? Screw this. Screw you guys. You know, it's very, it's so, it's so, it's so.
You have a fucking weird Christmas tradition.
Yeah, I always save my mom or one of my parents every Christmas. But you get what I mean. Like, we always have these moments as people where we're totally aware of, like, the genuine, like, awesome feeling that we should be having for another person or for life.
Yeah.
And then we just, whoop, it goes away really quickly. Goes away either because, you know, just human nature.
You just
like,
I think you just, like, human nature, maybe it's a survival mechanism to forget things, you know? It's like, you don't want to hold on to things forever and make you crazy, so. It's like kind of a forgetful mechanism. It makes you forget, so.
It's a forgetful mechanism. It just makes
you
forget.
You do. Like, your body does. It's funny because I think they found this study, and the reason that marijuana can give people anxiety sometimes is that you have a mechanism that makes you forget things, and weed interrupts that mechanism. So it makes it harder to brush things off. Like, you know, if you're high.
Ooh,
and you're
interesting.
Like, is that guy fucking... Is that guy talking to, like, is that guy looking at me? Like, is that,
yeah.
Like, what did that interaction mean? You know?
Yeah.
Whereas in real life, you could just be like, who gives a shit?
That's why some people are paranoid when they're high because, you know, they can't let it go. They're like, oh man, I'm walking down. I'm not weird. I'm not walking weird.
Are my hands on the right sides?
Yeah. Are my hands on the right side?
Did I tell you that I saw Louis C.K.?
What?
The other week, I saw him do stand up. He did the forum in Los Angeles. Louis C.K.
Oh, yeah. You told me. You told everybody. You told the listeners.
Did I tell the listeners that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Well, so, you saw him and it was awesome. And he was like in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah. I think he made like, man, he must have made almost $250,000 off of that show. And he was saying how he gets depressed during doing stand up sometimes. And, And I'm like, all right, that's good. Even
You didn't say that part. You didn't say the part about getting depressed doing stand-up.
Yeah, and it's funny because Maria Bamford was like saying how she was lamenting her lack of success. And people are like, you just got to do it. Like, you got to do... you love it. Like, do you love it? People are
Maria
like...
Maria Bamford's been doing it for a while.
And then she's like, they're like, don't you just love just going to shows and doing it? She's like, I didn't want to go to this show tonight. I forget how she how the joke went, but it was just, she was just saying like, I didn't want to go to this show tonight. But yeah,
when do you, man, that's so, wait, if those two people on the spectrum, the Louis, you know, the Louis side of the spectrum and the Maria Bamford side, both very respected comics at very different, like, you know, like heights of their fame,
yeah,
are both like, you know, just dissatisfied or sometimes depressed with doing comedy, then like, why am I optimistic? Why?
Well, I'm sure they're not depressed all the time, and they're probably,
well, yeah, they're probably not depressed all
bit,
the time.
And, yeah,
but that moment is real, though. The one when you are depressed, like,
hey,
that makes.
I got a solution. Move to New York or move to Los Angeles, and that'll clear that optimism right up. That's gonna be move gone. There. That's gonna be. I've never felt so mediocre in my entire life, and I don't think of myself as like this fucking amazing comedian. But I'm like, man, I feel barely mediocre here. Just like, ugh, goddamn. So many good comics out here that like are so much so fluid, and just people you've never heard of. Like, who the fuck even is this guy? This guy has no career, but he's way better than me. And then you see insane people that are delusional, and you're like, all right, at least I'm not that guy.
Yeah. At least you're not straddling that edge. At least you're not like right there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But it's just so crazy how, like, I mean, I guess you assume that people at that level in their game are just really happy with where they're at.
Yeah.
But then you kind of separate like ambition from like, let's say someone like Maria Bamford. You think that she hasn't made. But in fact, like, if you really do analyze her position in, like, comedy as a whole, she has the notoriety, but not the way that I guess she wants it.
But in, like, comedy, like, most people outside of comedy. But I don't even think it's that. It's just, like, when you work out new material, it's just depressing sometimes because it sucks. Like, and you want something to work, and, like, you could do a big set, and it doesn't work. And like, when we see Louis C.K., we see the fucking highlight reel, you know? Like, it's like watching someone's marriage through Facebook page updates. You're like, wow, they look really happy. Like, you don't see, you know, the wife with her fucking hair tied in a bun. Like, why the fuck do you never sort the whites from the colors? Like, you never see that shit, you know? You see the highlight reel, you know? And it's the same thing with, like, seeing a nice restaurant. When you see Maria Bamford on TV, or you see Louis C.K. doing comedy for thousands and thousands of people, You're seeing the reward. You're not seeing the work. You're seeing the reward. So it's like meeting someone at an office party or an office retreat. It's like, oh, you guys just go camping? No, we work really hard for 12 hours a fucking day for months on end. And then this is the fun part, you know? Yeah, it's God, doing comedy is just so brutal out here. It's fucking ridiculous. It's so brutal. God damn. I refuse to quit. I saw someone do their first time last night, actually.
You saw someone do their first time?
Yeah, on the Flappers audition open mic.
Their first time on the audition open mic?
No, on doing comedy ever, and they did it at the audition open mic.
Oh.
Because they didn't know any better. Because, like what, you don't know all of the mics when you start comedy. Like, I did Casa de Haha just because I was like, this is the only comedy night I know that exists in Miami. So then, like, I just, you know, emailed Daniel Reskin, and I'm like, can I do this? I haven't done it before. And he's like, yeah, usually no, but sure, here's, you can have 5 minutes. And what was I gonna say? Yeah, so it's like this guy was doing it his first time and maybe his last time after his reaction from how he felt about his set, because it didn't go very well. And he was talking to me before. He's like, hey, what do you recommend? Do you have any advice? I'm like, just do it a bunch of times. You know, I didn't want to say, like, I would recommend not. He drove all the way from Orange County, which is, like, very far away. And, like, you know, I didn't want to be like, yeah, my advice, don't do it here. Do it not here. But I didn't want to say that, you know, so because he was already there. He already signed up. He had a set written on his hand. And I'm like, you might want to wash that off, actually. So,
man, that was interesting. First time.
I think I might have seen someone else quit. I don't know. I saw this. I was on the show, and they have a raffle. It's a book show with a raffle for the other spots, and this girl goes up, and she did pretty good. Like, she did not do bad. She probably was new, I feel, because she had all of her friends there, and when she went up, everyone was like going crazy for her.
Yeah,
and you could tell. Like, that's like the only time I see that happen is when there's someone new, or if it's like a bringer show. You know, and this wasn't a bringer show, so I'm assuming that she's new. And yeah, dude, she did pretty well. She compared to the other comics, might not as well. Maybe she didn't know that they were like super experienced because they were really good. And she just said to her friend, she's like got off a stage and she just runs and picks up her keys and she's like, let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here. We're leaving. And she just ran out.
Just ran out.
She just ran like could not get out of there fast enough. And her set was pretty good. It wasn't amazing, yeah, but it wasn't bad.
Was solid for a first time. You know, I get what you mean. Like, you go up there and you know, a good first time set is you said everything and that's it. Like, if you said everything you wanted to say and you got a couple chuckles, that's a good first time set.
Yeah. And she got more than chuckles. She was not too bad. Like, I feel like with a lot of work, she could actually have been pretty good, but I don't know what her expectations were. But clearly, her expectations were different than what actually happened.
It's so weird how no one expects to be amazing at the guitar, you know?
Yeah.
But people expect to be like amazing at comedy first time around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, especially people that are very funny with their friends or family.
Exactly.
They're like, oh yeah, no, I got this. Don't worry. Comedy. Like,
oh, that's a totally different skill set.
Yeah,
shit.
It's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't ask a preacher to, like, you know, I'm trying to find another.
That's a worse analogy. I don't know where this analogy is going, but I feel like it's gonna be really bad.
Yeah, I have little faith. I'm pushing the eject button.
I have a little faith. I have little faith in your faith-based analogy. Because comedy. What's funny about comedy is, like, when you see a really good guitarist, you're like, that looks fucking hard. But you see a really good comic, and it looks so effortless. But so much work went into that effortlessness. Like, yeah, I'll just talk. And then it's that moment on stage where you can see a new comic like being like waiting for a part to hit that they thought was really going to hit. And they're like, shit, that's not how stand-up works. I've had those moments at the beginning that I'm like, this is the part they're really going to laugh at. And I'm like, they did not care about that. That is not how speaking works. That is not how comedy works. That is not how natural feeling comedic engagement works. But
isn't that funny when you start developing that sense when like the first time you're like, oh, this is a whole different thing.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not like a school project that I had to present.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the time, you know, I was really funny in that play once. Yeah, yeah. You know,
it's nothing like that. But I tell you something really horrible just between you and me, Reggie, because no one else is listening to us.
Visitors.
And all five of our listeners and my aunt and Josh Silverman.
All right.
I feel so bad for saying this, but when the girl like stormed off, I didn't have time to say anything to her. I was going to say good set, right? But she stormed off too early. But part of me was like, if she quits, I'll be kind of happy because that's one less person on the fucking open mic list.
I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah, I feel bad, but it's just like, I don't like, if you really don't want to do this, then don't, please. Like, for your sake and for everyone else's.
That it's just, you know, I never try and discourage other open micers or like people starting out.
Like, I wouldn't say something like quit to someone's face. Yeah, like, I was encouraging to this guy
I
knew that it was going to go horrible for him, but I had a feeling. But, you know, I wasn't discouraging, but like part of me is just like, yeah, if you don't want to do it really bad, just don't do it. Like, cause it sucks. This, like, unless you really want to do it, like this sucks.
Yeah.
Don't
this is one of those type of things that you really have to want to do it. Yeah. Especially that first, How long would you say it takes for you to finally say, oh, yeah, I do want to do this? Like, you know, the first time is the first time, and, like, those very weak at heart don't make it past that one. You know, the very first time where it's like, oh, I did it there. You know, I did it. All my friends said I should do it, and that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Or, yeah. Like, you know, bam.
I think it more happens like, oh, I'm going to do it. Oh, this is way different than I thought it would be. I'm never going to do it again.
Yeah. But then there's the you, me, and everybody else we know that, like, did it the first time. Then they're like, okay, I understand that this is my first time. Let me go a second time. Ooh, okay, I got a little bit more laughs this time. Yeah. Oh, wait, let me do it one more time. Ooh, it seems like people like it when I get loud over here. And then, you know, you start picking up. And then before you know it, oh, my gosh, it's been a year, you know? Yeah.
I think, you know, like... It's, I don't know, man. It's so, I think it's why it's good to kind of develop in a smaller place like Miami, because it's like you actually get crowds. It's much more encouraging, you know? And just like comedy sucks a lot of the time. That's just the nature of the beast, you know? Like I love comedy, but it sucks a lot. Like you have to deal with bullshit, you know? That's just the nature of it. And it's like, I don't know, if you don't want to do it, then I want to go home 3 minutes earlier. So please don't sign up for the open mic.
Please. If I can go from 66 to 65, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. If I could just have 3 more minutes at home to fucking read or drink a cup of coffee or something, I'd be so happy. I would really appreciate it.
I don't know.
I feel like a dick, and I feel kind of bad saying, oh, comedy sucks a lot, because it's something I love to do, but it does. Like, it just does. And it,
you think
it sucks a lot? Yeah. And like, you're not aware of how shitty it is yet, Reggie. Like, you don't,
I've been told many
times. Like, doing it out here is way shittier than doing it in Miami in a lot of ways. Cause you're just like, the bottom of the totem pole here is like the fucking bottom of the totem pole, you know? Like being at the bottom in Miami is like being in your mom's basement. Here it's like being at the bottom of a fucking salt mine.
Gotta crawl yourself out of the salt mines.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Morden's girl.
Yeah, and it's just like, it just sucks a lot. And like the relief is so few and far between, you know? That is just like, oh, shit. Like, fucking fuck. This is hard.
And then you see Maria Bamford say, you know what? I'm sad. And then you're like, oh, man.
I don't know. I feel like see a lot of people that are successful, though. And it's just like, it takes a long
yeah.
fucking time. It's a lifetime commitment. It's not like, it's like when people have kids and they're like, I'm done when they're 18. No, that's a lifelong commitment, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with comedy. It's like, it's a lifelong commitment to this shit.
I was taught that lifelong commitment when I spoke with Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
I was talking to him after the show he did at West Palm.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I had him sign my vinyl and I was so happy to meet him. And then I asked him, how long have you been doing it?
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. It was 5 years in DC, then 10 years in New York. And now I'm on my 10th year in LA. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was like, dial that back.
It's a long haul.
I don't think you know what you said, Mr. Scovel. You said 5 years in DC, tiny place.
Yeah.
10 years in New York, big place. And then 10 years, 15 years in, and now you're 10 years into. What?
Yeah.
What the what? Stop. And you're Rory Scovel. You're on TBS. You've been on TV shows. You have 2 albums. Okay. Oh my god.
And also, like, most people that don't care about comedy don't know who he is.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the other
like
thing.
If you say Rory Scovel to someone that doesn't know, like even Maria Bamford, you say that?
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck
is that? Like, you can say Chris Rock to everybody. They'll get it. You can only say Rory Scovel to very few people. Yeah,
like same thing with Maria Bamford, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like you know, it's a slog, but you it just takes a while to be able to do it, and it's, you have to not be discouraged, but you know, it's a
real comedy.
I was taking a piss at the last night at this venue. And I was like, wow, doing comedy is a lot like chemotherapy. Because it sucks a lot of the time, and you gotta like
wrap it up with the cancer.
You don't get a lot of respite, you know. It's like, and you don't like, you don't know if you're gonna make it. Some people have made it, but are you gonna like, who knows? Are you gonna make it? My cousin's friend made it, but then this other person did not make it. And am I just deluding myself into thinking I'm making it? My family's saying that I'm going to make it, but maybe they're just trying to make
me parallels. Yeah, you're so right.
Maybe they're trying to make me feel better, you know? And it's like,
maybe they are just trying to make me feel better.
Like the same thing with chemotherapy. It's like, I'm like, fuck, dude, this is so hard. And like the end seems totally out of reach. Like my goals seem completely fucking out of reach. And there's a huge sections of time where it feels like you're not making any progress and you just keep going, like you're going forward, but then you go back, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
And I'm like, cause I was just sitting here and I'm like, oh, another fucking open mic, another 2 hours of my life that I have to spend waiting for this thing to start to do
last
three.
Like an hour or two?
No, it's just like, cause it's shitty. And then you feel better finally. And then it just shits on you again.
Damn. Well, sorry, listeners. Didn't mean to make you sad. For those of you,
fuck
that
you,
listen to this,
fuck you, listeners. If you're getting sad, I'm sick of people getting bummed out with my cancer stuff.
Are they getting bummed out?
I don't know. I think the audience gets bummed out with the cancer stuff sometimes. And I just want to be like, stop being selfish. Stop having your private existential dilemmas. I have to talk about some real shit here. It's like this hidden. It's like this hidden world that people don't get. It's like people would rather not think about it, you know. And like I want to shove it in their face and show them, hey, this is funny, and yeah, I don't know how to do that because obviously shoving it in their face isn't going to work because you're kind of an asshole if you do that. But I don't know. I kind of want to. I have some cancer shit that I want to get through, but it's hard to do. On stage, I haven't figured out a way to do it that well yet without getting people super uncomfortable because they have to get everything. Well, we'll see, you know, because that's my personal experience, you know. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like doing jokes anymore that are just like premise, punchline. Like, hey, this and this, but this and this. Or like, used to be this, but now it's this.
So you want
like the best comics I see is just like stream of consciousness. It's like you might have it in there somewhere, but it's just like it sounds like a stream of like I saw this one comic. She's was fucking great. I saw her 2 times in a row, and I saw her do the same bit twice. But the first time I saw it, I'm just like, is she just riffing now? Because it does not seem like a bit, but it was totally a bit because she did it the other time, and the way she did delivered it was fucking amazing with like such like a unique personality. I loved it. And it seems like if I describe the premise to you, you'd be like, that's stupid. But the way she did it was fucking
great.
What's
the premise?
She's just like, hey, ladies, we love chocolate, don't we? And like, she's kind of like she's got like hipster glasses. She's got like curly hair and like a sweater.
That's
and she's like,
that's an amazing
she's like,
premise.
We love chocolate. She's like, we love chocolate. We just get chocolate. And we're like, no. Hey, ladies, what if dicks were made of chocolate? And she kind of like drops the microphone and is like, that's genius, like sarcastically, you know? And she's like, if dicks were made of chocolate, I wouldn't have gonorrhea. And
that's
it was amazing. It was great. It was she has done so many dick jokes that some of the best dick jokes I've heard have come out of her mouth.
Some of the best dick jokes have come out of her mouth. Yeah. That's amazing. See, now that's cool. You see, do you know why that works, right? Do you know why she could just like, you know, okay, when she was writing down that joke, the initial thing was like, man, isn't it dumb that people always make the joke that ladies love chocolate, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it is. If it were me with my experience, I'd plainly state, oh, you know what's really dumb? How people assume that women love chocolate. Like, yeah. That'd be me. And look, there's a strength to that. But honestly, like the way she approaches it is like she assumes the character of the lady that loves chocolate. Mm. And then you're getting the point, you instantly get the point. Like, not all ladies love chocolate like that. And then she established that.
She just does it in a way better way instead of being
exactly.
Like, we all love chocolate, right, ladies? I guess we're all supposed to love chocolate. Then it's like, eh. But then, like...
And then she says, chocolate dick.
Yeah.
And then, boom! Just elevated that to a whole nother level. Damn. I see what you get. Like, it just seems like it wasn't even, like... As I stated before, like, it's not like, oh, isn't it dumb how people think that ladies love chocolate? Like, in Valentine's Day, you always got to get your lady chocolate.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
She didn't have to use that. She
it could
just
be,
used,
it could be like, so hacky, but she makes a genius.
Exactly.
She's fucking, she was so good, though. Like, yeah, she had this whole bit about how she saves certain guys in her cell phone as, like, Canadian foreskin or whatever. it was so funny, dude. It was so funny. I would like to shove her in the face of every comic that I know that says women aren't funny and be like, look, she's funnier than you. And she's a woman. And she's way better at comedy than you. Do you see this? That's what I think. I can't help but think that when I see really good women comics, I'm just like, you fucking idiots. There's a lot of evidence. It's like, it's not true.
Thank you, Mike.
It's like, not true. It's just stupid. Cause it's like, I'm like, how can you be criticizing a group of people that I've seen firsthand have members of their sex that are better than you? It's like saying, gingers are hacky. Well, there's at least two very famous ginger comedians that are way better than you. So go fuck yourself.
Who?
One of them says go fuck yourself a lot, actually. Go fuck yourself.
Oh wait, Louis, right?
No. Bill Burr. Louis? Bill Burr and Louis C.K.
Oh.
They're great.
Okay, yeah.
And Bill Burr says thanks and go fuck yourself. That's how he signs off his podcast. yeah, dude. It's funny. It's like inspiring but sad at the same time. It's like, it's inspiring. Like, these people are amazing. Then it's sad. It's like, I'm average at best, maybe.
I'm average at best, maybe.
Yeah.
I find it anytime I see someone really good, that honestly lights a fire in me. That's just like, all right, guess I'm going to add another person to, like, you know, to the list that's going down. Like, it's, I just feel like, if I see really great comedy, that just makes me want to do really great comedy. And I bet you feel the same way too, but you're in a very different environment that I haven't experienced. So
or it could just be my mood recently or some shit, you know, who fucking knows, but I understand what you mean, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, when I see really great comedy, I'm like, this person has a lot going for him. But then it's like seeing really great comedy where the person has nothing going for them. You're like, shit, this person's really great and they have nothing going for them and they're much better than me. So fuck.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah. But again, it is 5, 10, 10. That's 25 years. Fuck.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I'm not even fucking
just to have a
in.
Little bit going for you.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, okay, I can pay my bills with this shit. I'd like to pay a bill. That would be ideal for me.
I would love to pay the gas bill
when I don't cook at home for the week. That'd be nice.
When you don't cook at home for a whole week and then you have to pay the gas.
Maybe that. If I paid that with comedy, it'd be killer. No, this is a super bummer podcast with Michael Bummer Marianoff.
Super bummer, Mary. I think it's also because you're tired. Like, I feel you. Like,
I
see you and I hear you.
I'm super tired, yeah.
Like, I can, your energy, like, your whole vibe is very different.
Yeah, because I'm so tired. I apologize, listeners who aren't paying for this, so you're just going to have to listen to it. I would have taken a nap if this podcast costs money, but it doesn't. And we don't have sponsors, so you can go fuck yourselves, all of you.
How can we get sponsors?
Yeah, I didn't... Yeah, I'm super tired. Yeah, I just need to take a nap. I'm grumpy. That's how I get. I get grumpy when I don't take a nap. I'm like a 4-year-old. I get grumpy. He gets grumpy. Maybe I'll take a nap and then I'll be like, everything's all right. Everything's going to work out.
I had a pretty good show at Casa, this past Casa.
It was, and no one wants to hear about your successes, Reggie. Fuck you.
All right.
Tell me about the show. Tell me about the show. Let's make the second half of this podcast end on a happy note.
Well, I was actually really worried because, well, one, I'm going to just admit it. I dropped the ball in promoting because there was a lot going on with me at the moment. So I dropped the ball in promoting. But towards the end, like, the show started at 9 and ended at 11:30.
Jesus. Ended at
That's the usual time it goes on.
Oh, really?
It goes from 8 to 11. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended at 11:30. So that was actually very good. Like, that part I nailed. Like, Alan and I ran a tight ship. Everyone was doing well, doing good for their time.
It's a 2.5 hour show. I didn't know that.
Well, it actually it ends at 11. Uh-huh. But, like, since we started later, because people were pouring in late, we ended later.
Okay.
So, so I dropped the ball on that, but then we got a lot of people, like some residual from the Churchills came in, and then like some people that knew that the show was going on came in. So that was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was honestly very happy that the first show went all right. Next show is going to be much better because I finally got like the poster in, you know, like the flyer. I got a brand new Facebook banner. I don't know if you saw it, but like, it's really cool. Everything's new and tight and like great. And also, like, moving forward, I have a whole plan for like what I need to do, you know, to make Casa really good and make it really like really fun and more engaging to like the people that like the Facebook page and like the people that come and watch the show. Like, I'm developing a whole plan. I'm really happy to like implement it, like, in this year. So first Casa went well. We had like, it was 10 people. We had 10 people.
Was Daniel there? Did he perform?
Yeah, Daniel was there. He performed.
Oh, okay.
He performed. He was also at Elwood's last night. I was at Elwood's.
Nice.
And, it was just, you know, it was a lot of fun hosting. It's a lot of fun hosting. There's some things I was kind of rough around the edges for. I rough around the edges with. Like, I kept on stepping on Alan's toes. Well, I stepped on his toes, like, towards the end when we both had mics on the stage.
Uh-huh.
I had never shared the stage in that like that with anybody else. So it was kind of like, it was kind of weird. So
Now you know what it feels like to be me.
What?
Feels good, right? Like, when I talk over you all the time. It feels good to be on the other side of that, huh?
No, it felt really bad. It did not feel good.
You're weak.
I felt like not decent human being.
You're weak. That's weakness.
That's weakness.
That's what
that
is.
All right, Sith Lord.
You're all weak.
You're the comedy Sith. Just like, speak over him. Speak over him.
Yeah, I am.
Thank you. So I was just really happy with how the show turned out. And like, come February, we have a theme and it's going to be storytelling. So I'm going to have like, I want the comics to mix their, I want them to like have a couple jokes and then like either end or begin their set with like a story, like a, you know, a funny story, kind of like The Moth or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I want to do. And then next month is going to be regular showcase. Then the next month after that, another theme. So
yeah, because Daniel used to do theme nights, but he kind of fell off
for like the Facebook page, and like hopefully like I can like, you know, set things off right.
Nice, because you remember Daniel used to do themes, but then kind of fell off with it.
Yeah, Daniel used to do themes. He didn't do them so much, but he was pretty heavy on the themes early on. Then kind of they dropped off as, you know, as the show aged.
Yeah, as the show aged and he aged.
and he lost all that vigor. All that vigor. I can't wait for the new Casa, and it's just, I feel really good. I also came up with a new joke while I like on stage. I came up with a new joke at that last Casa, which I'm really happy with because I've been in a writing slump. Like, I've been like sitting down and I've been like, okay, let me. And I couldn't come up with anything. And then, like, before I went up on stage, I thought of something. And I'm like, you know what? Let me roll with it.
Uh-huh.
And bam, it hit really well. And I tried it at Elwood's. Hit very well, too. The premise is, like, it's poor dick.
Poor dick.
It's
What's that? What's poor dick?
It's a poor dick.
I got this rich dick.
Poor dick is when... The way I do it is like, I'm like, I start off by saying I'm really bad at like finances and personal finance. So I'm broke a lot. So I can't really go on dates with my girlfriend. So I have poor dick. And what poor dick is when you just fuck your girlfriend really good so that way she doesn't want to go anywhere. Then
it's funny.
So that I was happy to get that from the Casa de Aja show.
Got that poor old dick.
Yeah. So
I miss Miami. I want to go back to Casa.
I have my friend Abe is coming back to Miami because he's not getting any booked shows in Portland. Yeah. Reason being is because he's not 21 yet. And also, I don't know, he says like the Portland comedy scene is really weird in some ways. And he can't really break out into it unless, you know, like you fit like a very Portland, you know, like character type, or you're just this way or something. I don't get it.
Portland is everything's weird there. If the Portland comedy scene was normal, that would be strange to me and shocking, because Portland is a very strange place.
Yeah.
So he's coming back to Miami?
Mm-hmm. Coming back to Miami, and he has some big plans for when he comes back to Miami. He you know, he'll be in very, very familiar scene. So, and people know him, and he stayed very connected with everyone on Facebook. So it's going to be a very easy transition for him. Just wish, like,
isn't he sad to leave Portland?
He's kind of sad to leave Portland, but like much happier to finally be doing, like, because the way he put it is like, he can only do what he loves, which is comedy, like maybe once a week in Portland because of like the age restrictions, you know?
Really?
So he's like, just screw it. I'm going to go back down and make my own moves down there with Miami.
That's interesting. Yeah, Abe, I remember, I think I remember when he started. I used to see Abe around sometimes. He had some joke about having sex with a door open or something. I think.
Oh yeah, that was the one where like he said his grandma told him not to close the door when he has a boy in the room because people might get the wrong idea. so then he said something to the effect of like, so that's why I'm gonna have gay orgies with the door wide open so no one gets the wrong idea.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a trip to Portland soon, I think, or at some point. I have all these trips planned, but it's hard with Hugo, man. Hugo's the biggest problem here, actually. I'm not even fucking with you. Like, he's the biggest problem right now in Los Angeles with us is
how
fucking
come?
Hugo. Because he gets separation anxiety, and he barks the whole time we're gone, and our neighbors don't like that. So we've gotten the property management company, the neighbors have complained, right?
Uh-huh.
And the property management company might have to get involved if they keep complaining. So we've kind of solved it temporarily by, when I'm away at my internship, Christine puts him in a doggy daycare or something like that. But or at night, one of us has to stay with him. But that means, like, we can't go out at night. Like, we can't do anything together unless Hugo comes along. And it's fucking super annoying. Just because, like, you know, we can't have a life because of Hugo. Which is hilarious, because of all the things that could be bad, that's the biggest problem. So, you know, I'd like Christine to come out to shows or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Little Hugo, man. He's a... And like, I can understand. I think like the our neighbor, she's got her family here, and I think she's a nurse, and she does like the night shift and has to sleep during the day. And I mean, I kind of wish she would have talked to us first, but I get that she's how you'd be annoyed by that, you know?
Yeah.
Because like, you can't have a dog. Like, that'd be fucking insane. That would drive me insane. I'd be like, this fucking dog. Just a shame. He's so cute when he's not alone. You know, we'd put a security camera on him and like see how he's doing intermittently. But he's, yeah, it's funny because he's adorable. He's an adorable little fucking dickhead. That's what I call him. Like, you're a little fucking dickhead. He's such a little dickhead. And then, like, he had separation anxiety, but when we asked him to go up on the couch with us, he's like, no, I'm going to stay on the floor. Like, you asshole.
Damn, Hugo. Quit eating shit, Hugo. That's so sad for Hugo, and like very that's a very tough position for you guys.
Yeah, it is. It's, I think what we might do is have Hugo stay with Christine's mom in Chicago for a little while.
Really?
Yeah, man, just so we can have a life, and then we'll maybe find another place where we can, it'll be more accommodating, and like, because we can train him, you know, we're seeing a trainer on Sunday, but like, you know, in the intermediary, we can't leave him alone, and so we need to find a place where we can leave him alone for a little bit. I don't know what the fuck, like, it's really disturbing to see him, because I come back, and I was gone for like 2 hours today, or 3 hours today, and I come back, and he's wet, he's soaked from all the slobber. Cause he like drools and like pants, you know. And then like there's a fucking pool of water by our window.
Wait, a pool of water? Like,
yeah, cause like our window has like a little windowsill, you know.
Yeah.
And he stands on the top of the couch. We had to rearrange our furniture, by the way, because of him. Because we wanted him to have a view outside and thought that might calm him down a little bit. And like, he drools so much that his paws are wet, his face is soaking wet, and there's like a literal puddle of slobber next to the window. It's really crazy, and it's upsetting to see when I come home, you know? He's having a panic attack all day.
Oh. Poor little Hugo.
Yeah. I don't know. This is the saddest podcast so far.
And you talk about cancer on the regular.
I know. Cancer's not, you know, cancer isn't as depressing as people make it out. There's way more depressing things than cancer. You know? Like, I don't know, fucking a lot of things. Like Katy Perry music videos. I don't know.
Those are appropriative. I mean, that's sad in a
different way. Cultural appropriation is a cancer in our society. What I think. So don't watch Katy Perry. I like how on the internet, like, they just tell you what to think, and if you think differently, you're on the wrong side. It's like, this is wrong because of this, and you're like, I don't think it's wrong. You're a fucking misogynist. Which I understand is like the argument that a lot of like MRAs and shit use, but it's like, it's so true, because like you have to like your thinking has to fall within this narrow view, or you're wrong, and then the internet says you're wrong. Like, I think one example I can think of is you know, remember Richie Incognito, with the bullying scandal with the Dolphins.
The what? Oh, remember
scandal? Yeah. There is this video, with Richie Incognito at like a sports bar, like going crazy. And he's like, fuck yeah, nigga, fuck yeah, nigga, fuck yeah. And he's white, and he's like, fuck yeah, nigga. And like, and then they had this like ESPN or Huffington Post, one of those like Google Hangouts or whatever the fuck. And someone was like, yeah, I'm from South Florida, and like people that aren't black say nigga sometimes. And it's true. Like, I've heard Hispanic people say like, yo, what's up, nigga? You know, like people say that, and it's not as bad as saying the word N-word with the ER. Like, you don't think of it as racist. And this one guy's like, yeah, I'm from South Florida. People say that. And everyone's like, no, no, he's saying the N-word. Like, that's not okay. And he's like, yeah, but it kind of is okay. And everyone, like, started ganging up on him. He's like, oh, okay, you're right. It's not okay. But it's like, no, he's right. Like it doesn't fall into the narrow accepted view of what's right. So all of a sudden, this guy's wrong. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, speaking to him using it in South Florida, like, everybody does use it here, and it's very, yeah, it's very different. Like, you know, like, because everybody's mixing with everybody, and you can't avoid anyone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even if you did dislike a race, guess what? They they're the most prevalent race in your apartment complex, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of time to be spent hating something.
Yeah, and exactly.
And if you got kids, they grow up in it, you know? They grow up in it. And the culture that is Miami, you know what?
Yeah.
We listen to a lot of music with nigga in it. That's just one of those things. I mean, you know, personally, in a perfect world, no one's using it. No one's using it, or like if they are using it, they're very hyper aware of where it comes from, and they're like,
mm-hmm.
and you know, after their whole sentence, they say like, I understand the historical context behind the word nigga, and I'm still gonna use it, and I respect all of your
They dissect it like Obama every time. They're like, I understand where you're coming from with this.
Did you see the State of the Union?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I haven't even seen the memes for the State of the Union. No, I didn't.
That's how I get my news through memes.
That's how I get my news through memes. Memes. This is the worst. Okay, you know cyberpunk? This is the worst. We're living in the worst version of cyberpunk right now.
If we were
to be living under cyberpunk, this is the worst version of it. Memes instead of neon and like, you know, glow in the dark shit.
Who knew in the future it would just be pictures of like a frog with bad bachelor habits on top of it.
Yeah. Who knew? Bachelorette frog. Who knew that? That's like, I wish someone had told me that back in when I was 8. Like, I wish someone had shown me a picture of a troll face back when I was 8, just to see, like, what I would think. Like, what is this? Why am I...
This is the future.
This is the future.
I'm good. Like, I don't want a time machine anymore. That's cool.
I'll take my time getting there. Let me slowly get to the memes. Imagine, like, in the future, people just break up into factions by what memes they love. Like, uh-huh. We love the advice animal memes. You're wrong for it. We love reaction faces.
I feel like that's happening on Reddit right now somewhere.
Yeah, that probably is happening on Reddit. Oh, so back to your original point.
Yeah.
I think, like, what people are like in the case of like that YouTube comments or whatever, people are robbing like others of the context of where they live or like where or their environment.
Yeah
it's like okay, so you don't like people using the word nigga, now you're okay with a black person using it. Like, let's unpack that, and why do they use it, and should they be using it? Like, there's a lot that goes into the discussion. And like with Incognito, like his whole bullying scandal, I had seen some ESPN reports that like amended like them, like the guy he was bullying supposedly was also in on it. Like, he was also just as much of a jerk, if not like on the same level as Incognito.
Yeah.
You know, like, they both spend money on, you know, like sex workers and all that stuff. So, so there's that. And I just don't like, how are you going to like, do you understand where I'm coming from? You know, like, I live in South Florida. You don't.
Yeah. Like, how the fuck are you going to tell me how this is supposed to, I love it when people try to explain things to people. Like, guys trying to explain to women how to feel. No, you're wrong. No, I'm not, actually. No, that makes me uncomfortable. No, but you're wrong to feel uncomfortable. No, that's how I fucking feel.
There's very few moments where, like, you know, like, you know the exact, like, you know the right feeling for the situation, you know?
Yeah.
I know it's pretty difficult in LA, Mike, but here's how you should be feeling.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. I love it.
It's ridiculous.
And man, like,
that mansplaining. And I mean, a lot of MRAs will probably jump on that platform where it's like, I lost it, but I was going to say something like, so then like, when, what, how do we ever be right? You know, like,
ugh.
Like, shut what, up. Then what's right or what's wrong? Like, come on, bro.
Every MRA that I see is a sad person. Like, if I go on Reddit and I see someone's an MRA, I go through their comment history. I'm like, this is a sad sad person. I never see someone like, yeah, this is a collected person who like obviously can process collective like complex ideas. I just see like you are a sad, sad man. Like men's rights? Are you fucking serious? Like, God, use a different name. Jesus.
Like, if you had to complain about the smallest thing, let's start with the name first.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I saw this screen cap of a, it was either CNN or Fox that yeah. that had like a little headline that, that read like, are men the new women?
What?
If I find it, I'll link it to you. If I find it, I will link it to you because it's hilarious. Like, it's just two guys like talking. Are men the new women? I don't even know what that means.
That is the dumbest thing. Jesus.
Are there
Christ.
Old women? Is this? What? Where are the old
men? Yeah, they're called
men?
Women, Reggie. They're called women.
are there... Wait, what's going on here?
Idiots. Jesus Christ. Are men the new women? Give me a fucking break. Oh, man. Yeah, MRAs are fucking ridiculous people.
Black and Jew podcast. If you got nothing else to say, just say something about the MRAs.
Yep, that's the dumping ground. We got 4 minutes left of recording time, so we're just going to dump on MRAs for the rest of it. I think it's funny because a lot of the MRAs are like, why do feminists not just say egalitarian? Like, we're not feminists, we're egalitarians. We want everyone to be equal. Why not just say that? Why focus on women? Maybe because fucking... Yeah, but you're saying men's rights activists, you know?
Like, yeah,
shut the fuck up, you fucking moron. It's just sad, bitter, sexless or divorced people is what MRA is.
I probably said this before, but I think like sexless or divorce oversimplifies it, but that could be a very common root cause.
Really? Does
yeah.
it oversimplify it, or is it the fact that Venn diagram is a circle? The sexless and divorced MRA, that's a fucking circle. Like, I don't think you can be an MRA without a healthy relationship with women in your life.
Yeah, see, that's... Well, I think that's... Like, divorces don't necessarily have to be, like, unhealthy. Well, I mean...
No, I'm not saying like, all divorces yeah. are MRAs. I'm just saying that if you're an MRA, you're most likely, like, you know, just sexist or whatever and hate women, or you're divorced.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what it seems like to me, because like these people have very unhealthy views of women, you know, like they don't like they have these totally skewed views. And it's like, I don't think you care about equality. Oh, I just want to take a nap so bad. That's all I want to do.
Then let's wrap it up, Mike.
No, we got fucking we're not at an hour yet.
Oh, you want to do an hour?
We got to get to an hour.
We can sing a song.
I'm not wrapping it up yet. I'm dragging this out. People have probably dropped out at this point, but I'm dragging it out. I don't care.
I think we still got a very strong fan base. We're being more consistent, and yeah. You know what?
That's the important part, is the consistency, you know?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be consistently good, just consistent. Just get that weekly dose of Black and Jew. I've been trying to branch out with my podcast recently, and I've been listening to a lot of NPR Planet Money. I fucking love that podcast.
Planet Money. I like catching it like at night, like on the radio. It's really yeah. interesting. I love the one where they broke down the cost of dating, like online dating and all that stuff. That was a very interesting one.
I did like, not hear it. See that one. I got to see that.
Check that one out. That's really cool. That one's
it's a great one is the episode about how Planet Fitness actively does not want you to come to the gym.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah, like gyms are one of the only businesses where they make more money if you don't use their services.
Yes, because like if everyone that signed up for a gym went to a gym, no one would be able to work out.
Yeah, it'd be fucking crazy. And like,
that was,
it would cost
them so
much money and everything would break down and all this shit. It was super interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
so like
yeah.
gyms want couch potatoes, like they want people yeah. to sign up around New Year's time, make their resolutions, mm-hmm. come in a couple times, but then never come back again, and then forget and leave their payment, you know, leave their contract on the back burner.
Exactly. So like if you're a gym rat, you're being subsidized by
yes, exactly.
lazy people. Like they have pizza and bagel. nights every month.
Yes. There's also, in that same one, they profiled a gym that gives you the real cost of, like, people go there for a no-fuss, no-nonsense gym. There's no music in that gym. There's no color. There's nothing. There's no mirrors. There's just, like, equipment and, like, you know, stuff like that. So they ask one of the, they ask, you know, the people that run this gym. It's like a high-profile gym. And they're like, how much does the membership cost? And they're like, well, it's pretty much $1,000 a month.
No, I think it was 500. I don't think it was.
Oh, it was 500? Oh, okay.
It was like $500 a month.
$500 a month for a real gym membership.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
I don't know though. I feel like it could be less, you know? Like if I remember I used to go to Gold's Gym back in the day and that had a pretty heavy focus on working out, but now they talked to a designer that was saying how like he's been designing gyms for like 30 years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It used to be like focused on weights and shit, and now it's focused on just being looking like a club.
Yeah, like, looking like a maze too. Like,
yeah.
If you can make things harder to reach or harder to access, or like, you know, obscure things, then people will just be like, oh well, I guess I'll only work out my back today. Yeah, that was a really interesting. That one was really interesting, and I enjoyed it very much.
And Planet Fitness is only like $10 a month, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Because there's like lazy people that just like, man, I think I won't go today.
I'll sit in a massage chair, I'll eat some pizza. And they ambush some guy and they're like, hey, can we see your card, see how often you actually come? And
oh,
like,
yeah.
He tried to slip out before they could talk to him.
There was one guy who claimed like, yeah, I'm here every day. And then they
swiped
the card.
Yeah, that was the same guy. Yeah, he said five days a week.
Yeah.
And it was like two times a month or some shit.
Like, I'm lazy. Oh snap, they're really going to swipe it. Oh, well. And
moment,
you know,
of truth. I'm lazy.
I'm lazy. So, yeah. Gyms.
All right, we did it. We made it.
I think people want to hear more about these gyms, though.
No, we'll talk about it next episode when I've had a nap.
All right.
All right, man. So, everybody, follow me on Twitter. My handle's Mike Marinoff. I'll love
everyone,
you if you do it.
Everyone, go like the Casa de Jaja Facebook page. Facebook.com/Casa de Jaja. All right.
And we had to talk about cross promotion, which you're violating, but I'll let this one slide.
All right. Also, second Tuesday of every month. See you guys.